The bus dropped us off at a spot where the dirt road crossed a dry riverbed. From here was another 2 days on foot to the house of El Viejo, my mentor's teacher, now in his 90s. Somehow my mentor had gotten word that the old man was dying, and all of his students were gathered to honor his passing. My mentor Antonio had invited me to accompany him. I packed only the necessary gear, tent, sleeping bag, water filter, dried foods, and a camping stove, all stuffed into my backpack. Antonio smiled when he saw what I considered to be the bare necessities for this journey. He carried only his poncho and a small bag with quinoa, a grain domesticated by the Inca centuries ago. No pack, no sleeping bag, no load to shoulder. We were the last to arrive. El Viejo lay in a fur-covered litter in the center of the room, in the mud and stone hut. Candles were everywhere, and the scent of wax hung heavy in the air. The last rays of the sun filtered through the window, and by the half-light I could see the weathered brown faces of the men and women gathered there. All wore ponchos. Some had shirts and sweaters. Others had hand-woven garments with the designs of their villages. All were in their 50s and 60s. One man, the youngest of the lot, played a bamboo flute in the corner. All had brought gifts for El Viejo, flowers, medicine stones, wooden kettles, the ceremonial drinking vessels. The old man was going to pass away that evening. I sat in the corner next to the flute player and tried to make myself invisible. But Antonio caught my eye and with a glance indicated I should join him by the old man. He held El Viejo's hand, and I could see in the old man's face a kindness and fearlessness I had never seen before. The old man nodded, and Antonio indicated I could return to my corner. One by one, each of El Viejo's students kissed the old man. To each he gave a stone from his altar and a blessing. He gave Antonio a shiny object that I later discovered was a golden owl, ancient, pre-Columbian, probably handed down from teacher to student for generations. Then he took a last, labored breath, and calm and peace came over his features. As he exhaled, my mentor pressed his lips to the old man's, received his final breath, and touched his lips to the woman's next to him. In this way, El Viejo's breath was exchanged from mouth to mouth around the room. Then someone opened the window, and the last person to receive the old man's breath released it toward the setting sun. El Viejo was free. In this session, we will learn about the death rites and the great rites of passage that lead us from this life into the beyond. Our life ends with the last breath, just like it begins with the first breath we take. Many of us grew up with the idea that we would go to heaven if we were good and perhaps somewhere else if we were bad. But the concepts of heaven and earth are strictly European. In the indigenous practices, for the shaman, there's no heaven and there's no hell. For the shaman, there's only the natural world with its visible and invisible components. While in the invisible part of the natural world, we inhabit a luminous body. And we never lose our identity. We only forget.